Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you this evening?
Doing good, Jordan. Doing good.
Good. Well, a lot has happened. A lot of good and some bad. There was some good golf and some not so good golf all wrapped up into one. I don't know how much you watched of the PGA Tour event or the women's PGA or the U.S. Senior Open, but a lot of good golf, really. And then just some dumb golf and some, yeah. So,
yeah, we'll cover it all.
Let's, I don't know. What do you want to cover first? And there's more players to the live. Oh, it's getting exciting.
Oh, it's exactly what I wanted. And it's funny. Every week there's like three more players. And I think they're just kind of realizing like, wait, the PGA Tour isn't God. You mean I can just live my life and do other things too? And you can. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it is what it is. Right. Of the players that left this week, you had probably the highest profile name from this list is Matt Wolf.
Yeah.
Matthew Wolf.
I mean, he's had some struggles, right? And we know he's had some issues on tour, and people are going to say, who? Matt Wolf, who? Guy's still a PGA Tour player that had exemption through. He's off and on, but he's a great player. And maybe he just needs more balance in his life, and this is an opportunity for him to get that. You know, that was one of the issues. There are amazing golfers out there.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legit so dang good, it'll knock your socks off, but they can't travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because traveling is part of it. And that's why you get players like, I mean, Zach Blair is good, but the guy travels well.
Oh,
he's always playing well. And that's a huge, huge benefit. If you don't travel
he's back.
He's back on his
Twitter.
But this is a guy who plays consistently on the PGA Tour, and he's got to hit hybrids in where other people are hitting irons.
Yeah.
It is challenging, but again, you can be an amazing golfer, not travel well, aka Matt Wolf, and have a really tough time on tour.
Yep.
And
for sure.
It is such a huge factor, and it's amazing. And I'll say this, if you're good at golf and you're an amazing traveler, you can be on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it does take that, because right, you have to be. And there's sometimes it's just, I think these guys that play, it's just a hard for them to travel and to get prepped, right? They're never quite ready. Or there's some guys that are just like, yep, let's do it. But so that, and then this is, I think, and we've talked about this a little bit, they got the number two amateur in the world from Oklahoma State, Eugenio Chikara. I'm just throwing that pronunciation out there. I heard it, but number two am in the world. They have the number 9 am committed for this year, and then he's going back to ASU. So, right, you start getting these high-ranking, you know, and he's turning pro too. So, yeah, he's doing this, turned pro, number two, turning pro. But But you get these high level, high ranking AMs that are coming out because he would have been Corn Ferry.
Oh, like, yeah.
Right through the PGA Tour U
and
to the Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
I think, right? They're going to have to look at this and go, oh, do we have to give guys straight to the PGA? But then again, if you're going to get, you know, what did they say they offered Matt Wolf? And it was reported something out. It was like 55, maybe. I can't remember. But, I mean.
Well, the thing is the university exemption into the Corn Ferry Tour, it was okay. Me and you talked about it. It was like, this is kind of lame because when you compare it to other sports, like homeboy gets second draft pick and he's got a multi-million dollar contract, you know, and this is technically the second draft pick in golf. And what does he get from the PGA Tour? Oh,
you get a couple Corn of Ferry. Starts. Yeah. You get Corn Ferry.
You get to go to the D League.
And not even guaranteed. And this is the one thing, not even D League, because D League players at least get guaranteed
right
money, right?
And so there's the same thing
with minor leaguers, right? If you're gonna get drafted high, you're going to the minor leagues, but you still have your guaranteed your signing bonus, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to earn your way up, but
give these guys a signing bonus. Because like think about it. You've already proven yourself in the amateur ranks because you don't become number two amateur in the world just by playing college golf. You're also playing all your other tournaments.
Yeah.
You're playing a prestigious amateur events, U.S. Amateur, Pacific Northwest, whatever. You're playing all these amateurs. You're getting ranked. You're probably on the Walker Cup team. Like, you're legit. And you deserve a signing bonus and an opportunity to play. Because when you get that money, it takes away so much of the stress. And this is one thing I can just tell you flat out. Like, when you have to play golf and you're like, if I make the cut and earn a paycheck, then I can make those bills. Like, if that's your mentality, and that was mine, like,
it's hard.
Tournament golf is not going to work out for me.
And it's hard, right? When you don't have that backing, it's ruined. I actually talked to a buddy of mine who was out there playing, and he's like, I disappeared for 4 months because I was in a bad spot. And a lot of that was because of the golf and what it did. And he had backing that was solid. Like he had no worries about money, but it was still that expectation, right? Because no matter where the backing is coming from, there's still the expectation on you to perform, right?
It's a huge pressure play.
And he's like, I was basically disappeared for 4 months because I was in a bad place because of it.
Yeah.
So.
And then you've got somebody like Eugenio who gets a signing bonus to go play LIV. And guess what? He's going to be able to just go out and perform. He's not going to be stressed week in, week out. Why? Because there's not a tournament week in, week out. He can get himself
to play. He gets to play this week in Oregon at Pumpkin Ridge. And, you know, he's already had his probably signing bonus of $6 to $10 million.
Yeah. I honestly don't see any negatives here.
There's not. Only negative is they don't get world golf ranking points.
Yeah.
They've applied for it.
Yeah.
And the one thing that they're going to, as they get better and better players, they can't do it, right? Because somebody was making the point. He's like, it's a 54 no cut event. That's why they don't get them. They're like, well, wait a second. Tiger's, and he's like 48 players. And he's like, wait a second. Tiger's Hero Challenge is 22 players with no cut, and they still get golf world golf ranking points.
And how many world golf events get world golf ranking? And
there are no cuts.
There's no cut. The Tour Championship, top 30 players. There's no cut.
Yeah,
there's a lot of no cuts.
Yeah, and then they'll go with 54. I'm like, okay, and what they'll do is they'll bump it to 72. Right. But
whatever.
So they've applied for it. Well, so we'll see how that that ends up. But like it's kind of cool. You're right. You had him and then Carlos Ortiz, right? Yeah. So you're getting players, and Carlos Ortiz has kind of been up and down, right? He I'm pretty sure, like my guess is he's still, let's see if since he's committed, whether they've taken him off the player list or not. But I think he won last year. I can't remember what tournament, but he won last year. So it's kind of like not quite as on the upward swing as a guy like Taylor Gooch, but you know, it will be interesting to see if a guy like, you know, the Am who tied for fourth this week, Thorin Bjornsson, right?
Yeah.
Who plays at Stanford.
Dude played golf. I was like, wow.
He did. He made some mistakes, which is, you know, to be expected, but really hung pretty strong, even with some mental blunders. Okay, he's still listed on their page. They haven't ripped him yet. So I mean, so this year hasn't been the greatest year. He's got a second at Mayakoba, and then the CJ Cup and the Phoenix Open. But it's another one that gets it, right? The CJ Cup doesn't have a cut, if I remember right. I think it's a limited field, no cut event, but I could be wrong.
They should get world golf points. And the really only benefit is before on the PGA Tour, world golf rankings could get you exemptions into certain events.
Yes.
But with the LIV, doesn't matter because you're signed up for the whole year. And then what it really means is you get exemption into majors. And that's really what we care about anyways.
Yeah,
it's like, let these guys do whatever they want. Let's get them exemptions into majors by playing great golf. Look, if the field's not as strong, it's not like they're going to get a backdoor in. They're just not going to get that many ranking points, and that's okay because that's how the ranking works. But if they don't win enough, you have to work double hard on a weaker tour to get enough points to actually qualify in. So it all works out.
It'll be interesting. But then, and then did I hear also, did the DP did they come out and say that, let's see. Report LIV Golf to pay. I saw this that they are going to LIV Golf to pay 1.7 million pounds DP World Tour. So looks like they've so they're paying the fines that the DP World Tour divvied out to its members. Let's see. So they sanctioned. So they haven't officially. I don't know if they've come out and officially they've sanctioned them, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
But it's good. I'm glad to see it. I'm excited for the next tournament.
Oh, sorry. They're banned from co-sanction events. So like the Scottish Open, which is a co-sanction event with the PGA Tour. That's right. And I was like, I knew that they did something to that effect, but that's just because the PGA Tour is co-sanctioning them and they're banned from those events anyway. So they really didn't do anything. And they're like, well, we're going to find you. And the LIV Tour is like, okay, we'll just pay the fines. I don't know.
Fine.
Yep. So.
So, anyways, moving on.
Moving on. It is what it is. Morikawa. Or not Morikawa. Boo. Shoffley. Shit. Shoffley. Why did I put Morikawa? Whoa. Ooh. Brain fart. Shoffley wins this week. And he wins by two. And it looks a little distorted. Whether Saheeth Thegala, big blunder, 18th hole, hits it in the bunker, which is, you know, it's going to happen. But he's about 6 inches from the lip. He has a discussion with his caddy. And the caddy goes, the only reason that you would try to get that to the green is so that you have a look at birdie. The only reason. He's like, so you're telling me? And he's like, no. The caddy goes, no. He's like, that would be the only reason for you to hit that club. And he had a wedge in his hand at that time, like a wedge just to kind of chip it out to the thing. And he'd been great with his wedges, great with his putter all day, right? So then he has his caddy hand him back a lower lofted club. Hits it right into the lip, comes back, has to chip it out, hits there, lips out. I mean, a big lip out for bogey. And then Shoffley, after that happens, pipe one, and then hits it stony, right? Hits it close, makes birdie, so he moves from 18 to 19, and Saheeth drops back to 17. So it looks like it's an easy win, but the Gala, I think, takes away any chance. And if Shoffley has to birdie that hole, I don't know that he hits the shot. It's free, right? Knowing that you have to birdie that, you might not hit that second shot is with as much freedom as you would prior, but it was bad. It was a bad decision on his part.
And golf is just full of bad decisions.
I don't know if you've watched the Gala play much. He is very like high energy. So I think at that point, whether it's his caddy needs to have a chat with him after this, or he needs a new caddy that actually is like, when he gets in this spot, goes, dude, slow down.
Yeah.
Let's look at this. You have been great with your wedges. And it came back a few inches, and then he hit just a sandwich out of there and barely got it over. I mean, so going with anything above a pitching wedge or 9-iron, whatever he hit for that initial one, he had zero chance. There was zero chance he was getting there. He was literally 6 inches from the edge. He wasn't getting – and if he did get over it, it was going to hit the bank in front of it and then kick it up, and who knows what that's going to do. So, yeah, it was a bad decision. Needed his caddy to literally just tin cup his ass. Just break him. You get your wedge and your putter, and that's it, buddy. These are the two clubs that you're going to have to use for the rest of the round, because once you get this out, you're going to have another one of these in. That's it. And I would have and obviously it's the player makes the final decision. But at that point, you've got to, as a caddy, you got to be like, no, I know what you're thinking. I know where your headspace is at. no, just no, that's not the right play.
And we've seen that a couple times where the player overrules the caddy and it's still them, right?
Yeah, but it's still them. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But in that situation, it totally should have been. The caddy should have been like, we've been together long enough, Heath.
Yeah.
It's not a good shot. I know where your hits space is, but it's not the right play.
Well, and it kind of reminds me of even Xander Schauffele in the Olympics when he hit it behind a tree and he punched out on the last hole to get up and down and win.
Mm-hmm.
And you just take your medicine and you do what you need to do at that time. And, you know, good things can happen, or at least really bad things don't happen.
Don't happen, right? Which, and then he, you know, hit a good wedge and hit a good putt that hard lip out, right? But I mean, he put some pressure on it where it's like, okay, I need now that I've done what I should have done originally, now I have to get up and down to even have a chance, right? And so, yeah, it was just a poor decision. But another kind of shocker in Sunday's round was Patrick Cantlay played like absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Like, look uninterested. It was a weird round. Like, some of the shots that he hit, you're just like, you're not even like fully mentally there. That's all you could say. Not even engaged.
Well, for on a guy some of the shots. As solid as he is, and how many times he just plays so good through, you know, the whole tournament, and to kind of see that, any number of explanations could be said, but
And it's not like he started off bad either. He got, I think he birdied like one of the first couple of holes. Oh, I guess he went bogey. No, he didn't. Never mind. He was even, and then I think he had three pars on the day. Yeah, three pars.
Man, oh man.
Ooh. He had three pars, I think five birdies. Ooh. And then a bunch of, because I mean, even with five birdies and then to shoot six over.
Yeah.
That's just like complete lack of focus. That is just crazy. That and then Rory's round, second round, it shoots even par with a quad and a double. Getting it out of bounds and that. And after the first round, I was like, man, this guy needs to send Greg Norman a thank you note. Because whatever he lit under his butt, he's the best golf he's been playing in a couple of years.
Well, I was thinking about that. I mean, they have put together some good stuff, but do you want to win every tournament? Do you want to win the Travelers when you're Rory? There's other guys, yes. Yes, I want to win. But when you're Rory, do you want to win the Travelers?
Well, if he's making the case that the best players, right, and it's a high quality of golf, I don't know. But you don't want to shoot even par with making a quad. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, you don't want to do that, but. It's not a like a marquee tournament here, but
no,
he's just going through the rounds, right? Or is he actually out there like, I'm going to win this?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he just got stupid hot on the first day and didn't really care the rest of the way around. But Shoffley does, you know, not only does he benefit from that, but on the same hole that Rory made the quad, his ball should have went out of bounds. I have no idea how it stays in there. He goes in there, makes a good bogey, right? And after he hit it, that's just one thing. Cantlay follows him right on the same line, and his goes out of bounds. But just another one. But it was a, like I said, it wasn't, there were some good shots, and watching Dyrum Bjornsson kind of be up there in the mix for a long while.
That was
JT cool. Posting got hot. Like I said, Sahith. Like, he's very animated and does some things. And like, I was rooting for him to win. It was kind of when you're watching him do that and you're like, don't do it. And then he did it. But it was a fun tournament. Not a great tournament. Some other ones that you didn't think that were going to be exciting, like the women's KPMG. PGA In Jen Chun like looked like she was gonna run away with it after and she shoots 8 under the first round, 3 under the next round. I think she's got a 5-shot lead, and then shoots 75-75 on the weekend, and it got way tougher because there was only, I think they were saying one person, one player. Take that back. But I think Nasa Hatoka came from way back. Minji Lee shoots 2 under. But I think in the last 7 groups, they were saying that she was the only one under par in the last 7 groups, which is absolutely nuts. But yeah. Inji Chun, 75-75. So it comes back to the field a little bit. Mm-hmm. Has a, because she shot 1 over. She still had a 3-shot lead going in to the final round, because it was, yeah. So she still had a 3-shot lead going into the final round and lost that early. I think Lexi was tied. They were tied through. Yeah. Or Lexi took the lead after 6 holes and was there. And right. It looked like it was Lexi's tournament. And then she kind of did what Lexi does. Missed short putts, like short putts and bad putting strokes. Like, it was crazy. Like, I think it was, 14 she missed a really bad one. Like, 17 she 3 putts, missing a bad one. 14 was really bad. Then she came back and birdied the next hole. But she was on 16, she was right next to the green in 2 on a par 5 and chipped it over the green and then chipped it to like 18 feet. And missed the putt. So right next to the green, it makes a bogey. And then Chun birdied that hole to get back tied. And Lexi, from about, it had to have been only, it was only like 18 feet, 3 putted. Like I said, another just bad stroke with a short putt. And then misses it way right on 18. It's a really good shot to about 12 feet, like really good shot from out of the rough. But just kind of, you're watching that. She makes the putt on 14. She doesn't bogey. I mean, she's realistically should have been 7-8 under pretty easy. But like, she just makes these mistakes coming down the stretch. It seems to happen more than not with her. She hasn't won a tournament in like 50 plus events.
Yeah. I mean, and she had a couple birdies to counteract her play on the back nine, but I mean, 4 bogeys on the back nine of the final day.
Yeah. And crucial times. I mean,
Well, and not to mention, I mean, some of the drama around it. Apparently, there was some delay of play or slow play notifications and also fines.
They were on the clock, and then they, I guess, got off the clock for a hole or two, and then on hole 17, they put them back on the clock. But I'm like, that's no excuse for you to miss a two-footer.
No. But, I mean, no, it's not. But, I mean, you're still going through the motions of playing golf, and you got that to worry about. So here's one thing. If you're holding up a tournament because you're in the third group out, and then there's 12 or 15 groups behind you, and you're holding everything up, that's one thing, but you're like the final group. I mean, does that even matter? Or is it the honor of the game and how fast you're supposed to play?
Yeah, when you're two holes behind the group ahead of you, that's probably an issue.
But again, it's around like the whole reason for pace of play is to make sure people can play golf on a golf course.
For me, it's still part of it. It's still part of it. Right?
Well, then, if it is, it's a very ambiguous thing, in my opinion.
It needs to be handled more strictly. And
yeah, like
yes, I agree.
It's just maybe this time we'll do it. Maybe we will. Oh, the whole course is playing slow, so we won't do it. How about you're given 12 minutes a hole, and guess what? Every minute you're over, it's a half a stroke penalty when you come down the stretch. Doesn't matter who you are. This is how it goes. Where's the strictness?
They need to be, and if it's somebody, right? Because they know who's slow. Right? Yeah. You can put them on the clock, get a warning, but they had had two warnings leading up to that. So.
Yeah.
They didn't get it. To me, this is the reason, and it's the same thing on the PGA Tour. Start penalizing these guys. Like, legit, start penalizing them. I don't give a crap. It's making 14-year-old Bobby think that he can take 4 minutes over a putt and slowing up your normal round of golf when all these kids get into tournaments, like, 5 hour rounds, 5.5 hour rounds are irregular on junior tournaments. And it's like, no.
And that's,
get your butt in gear.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, how many times have you gone to a casual round? And when you're playing slow, the penalty is not that you get a stroke penalty. The penalty is you let the group behind you play through. That's the penalty. Right. And that's okay, but again, it's got to be to me, the penalty should be very specific. And I understand there's a lot of ambiguous things in golf and how penalties are derived, and you could have somebody phone in a penalty now and all that stuff. But the thing is like, let's make it accurate. Okay, well,
they need to just do something for one, right? It's like, they have the rules laid out. They know what the penalty should be already. It's already there. If you're this, if you get warned and then you get timed, and if you're the slow one in the group, if you get a couple of bad times, then you're penalized.
Yeah.
But they don't seem to.
Well, and nobody, like, they make such a big deal about it. Apparently, doesn't the rule book even say you have 45 seconds to hit your shot after the person?
When it's your turn, it's 45 seconds.
How many times have you been in a tournament where somebody said, hey, you took 51 seconds on your turn? This is a warning.
No, I mean, but if you don't get out of, if you don't get out of position, then you don't have to worry about it, right?
Yeah.
If you're out of position, but the thing about it is and to your point, the big thing is the one that really should like be on the clock from the go is group one, right?
Yeah.
Group one goes out and they keep their pace and everybody else keeps their pace behind them. You got no issues, right? And sometimes I will say that this, there's times where when it's super windy, there are sometimes weather can affect that. And
just
because you can't play as fast when it's windy or hard, but they need to be a little bit more proactive in it, especially when they expect the youngsters to keep up that pace when they're not willing to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you want to play the game to enjoy it. Playing fast is important. I 100% agree. It's even more important in recreation golf because an entire business depends upon it, right? Where you don't play fast and the course is jammed and people can't get out and they're not having a fun time and the product value drops.
Right.
So highly applicable. Get a course ranger out there. Dude, you got to drop. You got to skip two holes. Sorry. Yeah. You know, whatever it takes. But tournament golf, the course is shut down. If you're in a position to ruin the tournament for everybody else, affect the telecast because people are paying money to watch and there's commercials and all that, all makes sense. But if you're like the last...
So to your point, TV broadcast cut away right before Lexi hit her final putt for birdie. I didn't get to see it on live TV. It was awesome. It was just like a cut. So somebody screwed up, right? But it's like, yeah, how is that even an issue that you should have? But no, it's like I said, slow play is an issue. It's one of the reasons that I sometimes hate playing public golf courses.
I just know, like, when I play tournament golf, I play different golf versus recreation golf. I'm ready to hit before the tee that you just hit is even like flipping off the, you know, in the air. I'm like guns a-blazing, but tournament golf, it's like, this is way different. And I slow down, I take a little bit more time. So,
But I mean, do you get out of place? I mean, do you go from a 3.5 hour pace to a 4.5 hour pace? No. Or do you go?
It's not. I may add an extra 30 minutes to my round and I can blitz a course in less than 3 hours. So,
yeah. And so like I said, it's different. It's totally different. But it's, yeah, it is what it is.
Let's talk about the old men.
The old man, Padraig. Padraig holds off Steve Stricker. Steve Stricker made a charge, buddy. It was like, I didn't do a lot. It was a pretty lazy Sunday. So, watched a little bit of golf, but one thing that impressed me, but Stricker, you know, making birdies after birdies. But watching Padraig is kind of fun. Like, dude clocked 183 ball speed. And he's been working on it, right? Second guy in a row that wins a USGA event. Been working on speed. Almost got him in trouble a couple of times because he hit driver sometimes when he probably shouldn't have. But I mean, it was crazy to see. He held on. I mean, had a little bit of a lead. And the thing about it is a Stricker doesn't just absolutely blitz that course and go six under. It's not an issue, right? He beat, like, I'm trying to figure it. Like, he had to have had the lowest score by a lot.
Yeah, Strick kind of did come out of nowhere, dropping a little 65 on the final day, almost backdooring it, right? And
yeah, he was, what, he was, he's 7-8 shots back.
Yeah.
8 shots back and almost came back to win. Right. You had nobody that was like around Padraig that did anything.
And nobody that really, nobody really threatened anything. I mean, Mark Hensby, he was 2 under and then he shot 2 under to get to 4 under.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
still it. 6 shots back. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Strigger goes berserk and shoots 31 on the back and had a couple of good looks on 15 and 16.
Yeah.
And Padraig may. And then clutches up, makes a really good birdie on 15, and he made some good putts to lock it down on 16, 17, and 18. But it was fun to watch. Like I said, another guy that's and he's been doing it for a while. It's the same thing, right? It wasn't the whole Bryson 40 pounds of muscle approach, right? He's been doing speed training, so it's more the Matt Fitzpatrick approach. But slow and steady, this guy.
And he's always been very, very athletic and focused on working out and increasing rotation, things like that. He kind of reminds me of like a young Gary Player. But my guy, turns 50. It's going to come out guns blazing.
Well, he was working on it before then, even before he finally turned 50, right? Because he'd been working with Gankus a little bit and trying to build up that speed. And it's working. Mm-hmm. It's working. But that was
question.
Yeah.
My question is, why didn't Phil Mickelson, did Phil Mickelson play or did he not play?
He did not play.
Why not?
I don't know. Because he should be.
As a winner of the PGA Championship just last year.
Maybe he doesn't. I don't know what the qualifications are for the old guys tour.
But I mean, as a major winner of last year, not having access. I mean, he had exemption into the U.S. Open.
You would think he'd have that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but he wasn't there. Getting ready for Pumpkin Ridge, maybe. But I don't know about that. And then the last winner of the weekend that we're going to talk about, and we wouldn't talk about this really. I mean, BMW for the DP World Tour is a bigger event, but the reason we're talking about this is because Hao Tong Lee makes a birdie putt, goes berserk, right? But I posted this thing. He's missed 14 of 16 cuts. I take that back. He missed 13 cuts and then had a DNF in one. So he's made 2 cuts in 16 events leading up to this.
Yeah.
Gets there, wins in a playoff against Thomas Peters, who's a solid player. And then his post-round interview, his post-round interview was the best. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. He drops a couple of S-bombs, just like unadulterated. They got him right after he made the putt, right? Guy has made 2 cuts in 16 events leading up to this and then wins. He's like, it's effing golf. It's effing hard. which pretty much sums it up, right? And it was like just pure raw emotion, right? From a guy who'd been in a pretty good spot for a while and kind of fallen off. And obviously was not playing very well.
Yeah, that's a tough thing because you always wonder, like, when do you just call it quits? When do you? And in this situation, he didn't.
He did not. But same thing. And then they were talking about Inji Chun. Like her sister, and at one point, because she was struggling, because it'd been, I think she'd won two majors before, but it'd been like 4 years, right? And there was a point where her swing coach and her sisters were like, oh, maybe you should hang them up. And when they said that, it like sparked something in her. She's like, no. I still got stuff to do. And
yep.
Right. So it's one of those things. It's a valid question. It's like, when you get to that point, when is it time to hang it up? Right. When have you gone through a stretch that's so bad that you want to just hang it up? I don't know. Not yet for Houghton, because he's exempt for, do they get 2 years on the DP World Tour? Probably the same.
I'm sure it's similar. Yeah.
As the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was awesome to watch, and then just to hear his post round.
That was the best part.
Right after. Yeah. That was the best part. Because it was just pure raw, like real emotion. Just like, this is hard. It's golf and it's hard.
Yeah.
And I sucked for basically the entire year. And now I get a win.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Fun stuff. Now to the geeky stuff. I thought we have done one, even though, I mean, really, I mean, Xander won the Olympics last year, and then he won this year with the fake team event, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So we have done a what's in the bag this year with him. So it hasn't changed, except for
a little bit.
Did he have the? No, he's, because he still had the wedges have changed.
Wedges have changed. That's a big thing, because they change every week on the PGA Tour.
If you didn't
know it, it does. And it's almost always the 60 degree. In fact, the Vokey wedge rep actually did a quick video on Instagram, and he said, this is why Justin Thomas goes to a tournament with two lob wedges. And they just do it. We talk about it every week, but we'll kind of roll through the bag here with Xander. I mean, he's got some fun stuff, and we're going to give out some gold nuggets here. Cause some of the stuff's really hard to come by, and there are ways around it, but
right.
He's got the Callaway Rogue ST Triple Diamond.
Yes.
And the Mitsubishi Kylie Shaft, the white TX. And he's got Kylie through the entire woods, which is kind of fun. But I love that there's no like consistency or plan to it. He's got a 70 TX in his driver and a 70 TX in his three wood, which is pretty cool.
My guess is he just is normally just a high spin guy with the driver. And so yeah. I've seen players like that when they just, for some reason, their driver spins way more than their, the rest of their clubs. Right.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So that's probably what they're doing there. He's got the triple diamond to bring down the speed, but he's got it at 10 degrees too. So that's a little bit more. So he wants some loft and then to bring it down. So probably a couple things working there.
Yeah, and the three wood is pretty cool. It is Callaway Epic Speed Triple Diamond. I mean, that's what a lot of those guys out there, they're messing around with, the triple diamond stuff, of course. And I wonder, I don't recall the picture specifically. I want to make sure I get it right. But the triple diamond head in the Callaway, I think they kind of have a unique soul. We were talking about it with Tony Finau's new three wood, because he's playing a Callaway.
He is.
I'm going to do a quick search just to make sure. But we'll come back to that. He does have a 7-wood in the bag. Hello, 7-woods.
Man, 7-woods, 9-woods. Crazy.
And it's the U, the UW. Yeah. And
it actually looks really good.
It is. It is. And it actually looks like an old 7-wood from like yesteryear, because they're calling it a utility wood. It's like kind of in between a hybrid and a fairway. But to me, it's just a player's 7-wood. Yeah. That's what it is.
It is. I mean, it looks really good. When you look at it, you're like, oh, this is what a wood's supposed to look like.
Yeah. And it does. What's unique about the UW is the curvature of the sole. And this is what I was thinking I might see in the Triple Diamond Epic 3-wood that he has. The curvature of the sole is very rounded. So if you're looking at the face, it's like a big smile. It's right. And I mean, some fairway woods are flat right across the bottom, and some pings are notorious for that. But this thing is like aggressively smiley. And what it does is it just lets you play from various lies, side hill lies and whatnot, but also pick it right out of the rough. So if you have a 7-wood and you want to pick it out of the rough, that UW is like phenomenal for it. And that's why it's in so many tour bags. Like anybody on Callaway staff, say there's like a 90% chance they've got the UW in the bag. Because man, what a tool to have to hit it, pick it right out of the rough and then hit it high from over 200 yards out. Like that's pretty phenomenal. So really cool woods there. He's got the only guy I think that's playing the raw. He's always played raw irons, but he's playing the TCB, the Tour Cavity Back Apex from Callaway, 4-through pitching wedge. Pretty good. I mean, for a ball striker that he is, I'm surprised he doesn't play blades, but he's got some pretty small and very workable cavity backs.
For sure.
Rounding out the wedges, he put in a brand new gap wedge, a 52-degree Jaws Raw. As we were kind of...
Yeah, we previewed him a little bit last week, but he just put the basic one in. Like, he didn't even go with any of the new grinds. So it's just...
Nothing
special. It's just a new gap wedge, but...
Yeah.
He's got his old SM6, right, in the bag, 56.
Yeah.
S grind, and then he's got his Wedgeworks, the SM9 Wedgeworks 60K.
Yeah, so he showed up with two. He's got a 61T grind, and then he's got a Special K, as I call him. And the Special K,
low bounce.
It's a low bounce K. Low bounce K. This one's unique. It's actually ground the same way Justin Thomas's Special K was ground, which means it's like a triple grind Special K, where it's got a pre-worn leading edge, then it's got a midsole, and then it's got the back edge
relief as well.
Yeah, if you get a chance to check that wedge out, you'll see it on the Vokey Wedge Rep. He highlights it, but the Special K is here to stay, and the history on that is that particular wedge popped up in existence just this year, I think, or recently. And it was because JT had been practicing with Tiger a lot, and he liked some of the features of the wedges that Tiger had on his. So pretty cool to see that kind of lead into other players as they experiment with other wedges. But yeah, dude comes to the course with two lob wedges and chooses which one's going to work best for the day. So,
yeah,
pretty boss.
That was the one. And then his O-Work.
Yep.
O-Work 7.
I've been a trustee for a while.
The red. It's been with him for a bit. But yeah, fun stuff. So, I was going to do this earlier, but we got kind of right into it. How was your weekend? Did you go play any golf this week?
You know, I did not. I went and hit balls for the first time in a little bit.
And no, you've been MIA, and I've actually been playing quite a bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why I went MIA. If you ever want to play golf, don't get in the golf business. And when I say that, I'm not actually, well, I am inadvertently in the golf business because I'm an equipment manufacturer. And when things related to golf stress me out, I step away from them to have balance in my life. And I, as of late, I've been pretty stressed on this last run of putters that I've been making. And so thinking about golf kind of made me sick, and I just kind of had to step away. So anyways, things are back on track, which is nice. So I took my daughter out. We're getting her prepped for the drive, chip and putt up in Brigham City on Friday. And we're gonna go out. She's doing really well. Her swing's really coming around. She's been playing good. But I went out, I hit balls, I had chunked a lot of shots. It wasn't perfect by any means, but I did hit two pins on a sign, so that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I played a little bit, and still figuring out the driver. Played in a two-man best ball.
There you go.
In lovely Wendover. I did my recording for the last one. Even though the first day didn't go very well, had two chip-ins and should have been a third one. Don't know how it stayed out. And then the next day made, I think, like five birdies and only a couple of bogeys. And it was like a completely different day. So it's... Golf is fun, and the funny thing you say, you when you get stressed out, when it's related to you have to step away. Like for me, it's like the opposite. Golf for me, no matter what, is a complete release.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then joined the men's league just to play in the match play at my original home course of Four Lakes, and so. Played my first match there. Little nine-hole match. Was two down after three and then ran off four in a row. They end up winning 2-1. So
it was there. You go. Fun.
Like I said, irons are good. Drivers still work in progress.
It's
getting better.
It's because you haven't bought the LTD. Come on, dude.
It's not that. Because I actually the last like three or four drives in Wendover were pretty good. And then
that off of half goodness. Like, I have never seen you hit a bad drive with the LTD.
You haven't seen me hit very many, many drives with it, but
pull the trigger.
I probably should.
It's too good of a driver. Like I want it just because. And I already have like two amazing drivers.
I know. It's there, but I don't know. But I'll be playing a little bit of golf, I think Wednesday, and then some this weekend. Then family always does like a family 4th of July scramble this year. Last year it was boys against girls. This year it's parents against kids.
Nice.
So it'll be fun.
Well, good stuff.
It is good stuff. And then hopefully we can get out the following week, which we talked about a little bit.
Yeah.
But we got to see where your schedule's at. But other than that, I think that's it. Good show. Thanks for listening. And until next time, we're out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review. And until next time, have a great week.